same circuit. Yeah.
Was he a very tall man?
Yes. I once thought about having a joke with him, asking him what the weather was like up there. Then I realised who it was, so I didn't.
Thank you.
pressure then, is there? No pressure at all. Just get on with it. Well, I was sent an email, I can't remember how many weeks ago, saying, will you come? You've got, it was a date in June and today's date. But I was bowling on the date in June, a county match, so I couldn't come then. And I was at Hazel Grove this morning. I've been to Romley since for a choir practice for a circuit choir. And I got home at, turned 1:30. And then the church council secretary phoned because we're in trouble with the charity commission because our accounts have been put in late or should have been in and are not in. And we've all received letters, those of us, they know the email address, and she was going on about that. And then she got off the phone about 2:05. So I thought I'd better come. So there we are. I was going to say thank you for inviting me. I didn't know you had done. But there we go. Now, shall we go straight into the hymn? No, let's read the psalm for today. As you've got hymn books, you've probably opened them at page 20, but can you turn to the back? I should know the number. I haven't written it down. It's number 823. The psalm for today is Psalm 103. We're not going to read it all, don't worry, because it's 2 pages long in the book. So we'll just read the first 8 verses. So if I read the words in light type and you respond with the ones in heavy type, is that all right? So it's Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all
bless the Lord, O my soul. Who forgives all your sins,
and heals all your infirmities.
Who redeems your life from the pit,
and crowns you with
who satisfies you with good things.
So the, Lord
the Lord executes righteousness. He made his ways known to Moses. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Psalm 103. I know I referred this morning to the benefits and then we sang a hymn about the benefits, but I've chosen a different hymn this afternoon, so I can't talk about the benefits. I think this hymn has been chosen because I've been running around all day, all week really. I know the sermon for today was written on the tram yesterday, going to and from Salford Royal Hospital. But I've chosen it just as a calm me down, if not you. It's number 20, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Stand on holy ground, be still for the
Can you start to see the numbers? Well, we're not going to sing it just yet. You've got a sermon before you sing it next one. So you can go to sleep first. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together this afternoon. We thank you that we can meet in joy and fellowship on such a warm day. We come to feel your presence with us here this afternoon. We come to feel your splendor and your glory as well, and indeed your power. And we thank you for all the benefits you've bestowed upon us through our lives. And Lord, as we come, we thank you also for the gift of Jesus. Jesus who showed us and taught us about your values for life, your love, your compassion, your mercy. And Jesus, who befriended us. And furthermore, Jesus, who gave his life for us, that we might reach out to you and be touched by you. And we thank you now that your Holy Spirit is present among us, and we ask that that presence can move us this afternoon, move our hearts, move our voices, move our hands and our feet as we go forward from this service into our daily routine. And so, Lord, we offer this time to you, praying that you would accept it and bless it. And this we do in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. And we're going to have our lesson now, I hope. Please. From Luke. From Luke, yeah. Oh, hang on.
So this reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Are you in amateur dramatics? I like the way you said the bit that the ruler said. Sorry, you called him a leader in your version. I've got ruler. You know, there are 6 days for work. It sounded very stern. You speak to him like that? Oh dear. No wonder he looks so oppressed and hurt. I better behave myself, hadn't I? This morning we also had the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, and I started off the sermon this morning by talking about that, but seeing we've not had that, I'll have to miss that bit out, won't I? Then we don't go on as long, we can have a cup of tea quicker. The gospel lesson is, as it's headed, the crippled woman healed on the Sabbath. It's about the Sabbath. We would call that the Sunday. And that got me thinking about Sunday and traditional Sundays, if you like, portrayed maybe in the film Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell, who was favourite for the 100 metres at the Paris Olympics 1924. We don't all remember that, do we? But 1924, and he found out that the heats were on a Sunday. So he withdrew, still entered the 200 metres and got the bronze, and then out of, against all expectation, won the gold in the 400 metres. But to him, you didn't run on a Sabbath. Sorry, a Sunday. I remember when we moved to Hazel Grove, because I can't remember what it was like when we lived in Timperley before that, but we moved to Hazel Grove mid-50s, there weren't that many shops open on a Sunday. I know we used to go to church 3 times on a Sunday. We'd go to church and then Sunday school in the morning, Sunday school in the afternoon, and then at night, us young people, that was a long time ago, were up on the balcony on the back row, causing trouble, no doubt. We used to go 3 times. And I remember preaching once at Windlehurst, and I said, I think it was to Keith Hansen, oh, I must go home now and put me washing out, because it was a nice day. And he said, on a Sunday? Sunday was different. Then I was on one occasion, I was preaching at Low Leeton up in New Mills. Now, it's the same people tended to go each week. And there were 3 of them who were responsible for the Sunday school, Michael Doughty, Philip Deacon and Molly Beaver. And one Sunday I went, it's got to be a few years ago because she died a couple of years ago, Molly wasn't there. And I said, where on earth's Molly today? Not like her to miss church. And they said, well, she's had trouble with her heart, and she's got an appointment with the specialist today at Stepping Hill on a Sunday. Culture is changing Sundays for us. I know my son works 12-hour shifts, 4 days on, 4 days off. So for several Sundays on the trot, he's going to be at work. and there are many people like him. Sabbath is changing its culture. But what does the passage say? Well, we're told that Jesus saw this woman who was bent over double and had been for 18 years, and he healed her, much to the annoyance, although I can't give the same accent that you did, to the ruler, and how they said, well, you know, you shouldn't really be healing on a Sunday. Sabbath, theirs is a Saturday, isn't it, Sabbath? Forgive me for being ignorant. You're healing and you shouldn't. You've got other 6 days to do that. And Jesus replied, well, you untie your animals and take them for water on the Sabbath. So why shouldn't we, you know, you look after animals, why shouldn't we look after human beings? And in the process, he embarrassed the ruler. But we read that the woman praised God because of her healing, and the people were delighted that the rulers had been knocked down a peg or two. But what lessons do we learn? What's the story telling us? I know this morning I latched on to the fact that the lessons are about our priorities and our choices in life. And I think this is asking us questions about our choices in life, this story. And I think there are three points, or three people, that are talked about in this story. The first one's Jesus, because we read in that passage, Jesus saw the woman. Jesus saw the woman. And that reminds me of an ex-colleague of mine, Jonathan. After I'd retired and he was no longer a colleague, I did some work for him, gardening work. And a bit later, he retired. And we were talking one day, and he said, what I used to do, I used to get up in the morning, have breakfast, go out, get in my car, drive to work, which was Withenshaw. He lived in Davenport Park. And at the end of the working day, I get back in my car, drive home, get out, go in and settle down for the evening. I don't know anybody on this street, except the immediate neighbours, Jan and John on one side, Ian and Joanne, I think it was, on the other side. And the only time I've really got to know them is when I've retired, got my bus pass, and now go to the end of the street to catch the bus or the train, or go to the shop sometimes. It's a bit like, I think I've only ever preached once at Trinity Methodist Church that was on Bramall Lane. There's now been sold and is being a McCarthy Stone, I think. And when I was preaching there, in anticipation, the steward sent a communication. And I noticed it contained her address. And I don't think you'd do that these days. We get very wary data protection. But I noticed from the address she lived on a cul-de-sac in High Lane, 2 or 3 doors from a member of our church at Hazel Grove. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be mischievous here. I'll mention to each of them the fact that they live only 2 or 3 doors away from somebody else who holds office in a Methodist church. And, you know that you both hold office in a Methodist church. And neither of them knew the existence of the other person 3 doors away. How well do we see other people? How well do we know our neighbours or our neighbourhood? How well do we know those living around our church? We appointed, it's nearly 12 months ago, well, it's 11 months ago now, a part-time caretaker at Hazel Grove. And a few weeks ago, we got a lot of grass around the church, which some mug that you're looking at cuts the grass and complains every time about the amount of dog dirt, with people exercising their dogs and not picking up after them. So we've got some signs that say no dog fouling. But Darren put some low stakes in with a little notice on no dog fouling, CCTV in operation. Did that on a Monday. By Thursday, the next day he was in, they'd been pulled off, thrown on the floor. Fortunately, it's true, we did have CCTV. So we looked at the CCTV, and I know that people were looking at it and saying, I wonder who that is. Look, he's doing it. Who is it? And I looked at it and said straight away, that's... lived around the corner, number on Queen's Road. It was. So we eventually wrote a letter saying he'd been seen. We weren't doing anything now, but if it happened again, we might be reporting him for damage to private property. But the point was, do we know the people around our church? Do we know and see them? I mean, the pandemic was a time when it's got a lot to answer for change of social activity. My Saturday evening since then is pretty boring to you, probably. I have my tea, wash up, have a shower, get ready for bed, put all the clothes in the wash and then do my ironing. It's great, isn't it? Because you don't go out as much. But one thing it did do, we started getting little notes through the door about people on the street or round the corner who were prepared to do little jobs for you, whether it was your shopping because you couldn't get out or whatever. People started noticing who was around. But Jesus saw the woman. Do we see the people around us and their needs? Second, it's nearly half an hour now, flipping heck. I better talk quick. The second person was the woman. She'd been bent double for 18 years. And you start asking yourself, what was her view of the world? If you're like that, you're probably looking at the ground most of the time. But she was healed. The word, the commentators, the academics tell us, the word that was used by Jesus for the Pharisees freeing their animals, untying their animals, was the same word he used for liberating this lady. So she was in many ways untied, freed from her disability, and she could look at the world with new eyes and a new outlook. And I wonder if we look at the world with a new outlook. How far does our view of the world, our choices and priorities change since we took Jesus into our lives? How have we changed since he untied us from our sin? As certainly Fanny Crosby put it in the hymn I chose first at Hazel Grove, "To God Be the Glory." How have we changed our view of the world through meeting Jesus? But finally, there's the ruler of the... It was leader what you read out. It's ruler in here. The ruler of the synagogue. The people rejoiced in his embarrassment. Do we join in that rejoicing at his embarrassment? Do we criticize him for his slavery to rules? And in asking that question, I'm very much aware of the phrase, if you live in a glass house, don't throw stones. Because I start thinking then about some of the diktats of the Methodist Church and about its claim to be inclusive and its requirement on all preachers and leaders and so on to do EDI courses, equality, diversity and inclusion. Those of you who are not leaders, you're very lucky. Because I then start thinking, do we comply with our rules? And I know I said something this morning. I'm going to say it again now and I'll get in trouble again probably. But I would question whether we're as bad as the ruler. Because I can point to situations where we are not inclusive at circuit, not your circuit, and church, not your church level. You may want to look at yourselves. But in our circuit, when we were Hazel Grove and Poynton, a lot of preachers will take the Roots magazine, which is a resource for preachers or worship leaders. And when we were in Hazel Grove and Poynton circuit, we used to get our own. When we moved into the Stockport circuit, when you moved into the Macclesfield circuit, we had it paid by Stockport circuit. They had a group subscription, which is cheaper per copy than getting your own. But then at the end of last year, I felt discriminated against by the circuit because they decided that people like me who were dinosaurs when it comes to technology were going to have their subscription withdrawn. If you were prepared to have it online, you could carry on because it was cheaper. But those of us who didn't want it online, who wanted it paper copy, then had to pay our own. Which was discrimination. And I wrote several emails and things about, we have got a circuit EDI policy. Why isn't it being applied? It's only in the last couple of months that our current temporary superintendent has acknowledged that there is discrimination around. And we've all gone back and gone under the same umbrella. But there was discrimination. Church-wise, we've got a church council coming up next month where one of the points for discussion is an application by another church to use our premises on a Sunday afternoon for their worship. Now, you may or may not be aware of the process for all that. It's quite complicated. Your church council has to talk about it and agree. And if they agree, you've then got to fill in a Schedule 14A form, which is attached to a statement of beliefs by that church, countersigned by your superintendent, and then goes off to the connection. National Methodism, who make a decision on whether or not you're allowed to let them use your premises for a church service. If they say yes, you've then got a standard license to complete that is approved by TMCP. trustees for Methodist Church purposes. Legal section. Now, this church presented its statement of beliefs to us. A number of people, one has to say that it was probably much narrower and much more basic than what we believe, and maybe not as inclusive. But some people in our church had a response that amounted to this, more or less. We don't agree with a lot of your statement of beliefs. We are more enlightened than you are. Well, they didn't quite say that, but that was the implication. We are inclusive, whereas you're not. And we're going to show you how much better and more inclusive we are because we want to exclude you and say no to your application. Now, to me, that is every bit as hypocritical as the ruler of the synagogue. To me, it's arrogant. To me, it's perverse. And yet that's what people within a Methodist church that's supposedly an inclusive church are saying. We have to be very, very careful that we don't become as restrictive and negative as the ruler of the synagogue in that story. What are our choices and priorities as we seek to be disciples and followers of Jesus in Poynton in 2025? Do we seek to recognise and to respond to need locally? Do we seek to make his gospel relevant and to draw others into God's kingdom? It's a question, not an answer, because I think we all have to answer it for ourselves. But I think those are the sorts of questions that that passage from Luke are asking us today. I've gone on far too long. We're going to sing instead of listening to me. I've chosen this one because I think this is something that the woman in the story might be thinking. It's 4:43, "Come let us sing of a wonderful love."
True, out of the heart of the Father.
And now we join with our prayers of intercession. Let's pray. Lord, we come each of us with our own thoughts, and we come with our thoughts about the world, the wider world. Our thoughts may be about conflict and destruction and death. Our thoughts may be about flooding and wildfires and the effect of global warming. Our thoughts may be about migration. Whatever our thoughts, let us bring them before you in the quietness of our own hearts for a few moments. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's bring our thoughts about our country, our nation. Our thoughts may be about the divisions within society. They may be about the continuing cost of living crisis. They may be about people's inability to cope, leading to homelessness and other problems. Whatever our thoughts, let's bring them before you in the quietness of our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we bring our thoughts about our local area, about our neighbours, about our friends, and about our families. It may be that those thoughts are about concerns for health or welfare. Maybe that those thoughts are about bereavement, and we think about Eileen's cousin Jean. It may be those thoughts are about joy, the joy of success, or about sharing in happy events. Whatever those thoughts, let's bring them before God in the quietness of our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, and let's bring all our prayers together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we come to our final hymn. Sorry, I've gone on for too long now. Am I all right? I was told half an hour before, and I've gone 50% above that. You don't mind? Oh, I'd have taken my time then. I want a cup of tea and a piece of cake. It's 504. I'm not sure why I chose this. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Shall we close by saying the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. I forgot to say I was asked to come on this Sunday, but nobody ever confirmed that I was doing. And when I was at choir one Monday night, I checked the plan that's on your notice board. That's the only reason I know I was planned here. Oh, that was this week. Oh, I'm talking about weeks ago. Well, I thought the circuit might have sent a copy of the plan or...